Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Today, we're with Dr. Jackie Chappell, who is lecturer in animal behaviour in the Department of Biosciences at the University of Birmingham. And she also runs the Cognitive Adaptations Research Group. So, Jackie, tell us exactly what you do.
Well, very broadly, I'm interested in intelligence. And I think intelligence is something that we find quite easy to recognise in one another and in particular animals. But it's something that's actually quite hard to pin down and define. So what I mean by intelligence is individuals who can adapt their existing knowledge to new situations and that also can innovate new behaviours, again, to solve new problems. In addition, some animals, and certainly humans, have the ability to do what's called abstraction. So that means you have higher level rules, if you like, that you can then use to solve very general problems. So to give you a sort of an everyday example of this, let's say, I'm sure lots of people have been in this position, you're trying to undo a screw and you've mislaid your screwdriver. So you're looking around for other things that you might be able to use as a screwdriver. And it's because you understand how screws work and how screwdrivers work that you're able to look around and find, let's say, a very thin coin, which looks nothing like a screwdriver, but you know that it might work as a screwdriver and fit in the slot and allow you to turn the screw and undo it. So very broadly, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. And so what I do is I study non-human animals, also humans, in collaboration with some people in psychology. That's Ian Appley and Sarah Breck. And I also work with people in computer sciences because they're trying to develop intelligent robots that have some of these same capabilities.
It's all very well looking at humans and using the screwdriver example is a good one, but how on earth do you look at intelligence when you're looking at, say, a bird?
Well, it's very difficult, of course, because one thing that no animal can do very well, at least, is communicate. So with humans, you can ask them how they're solving a problem, and that's one way to do it. It isn't actually always the best way to do it, because sometimes we don't have conscious access to some of the mechanism that we're using to solve these problems. But we can't do it at all with animals like birds, for example. So we set an experiment up in which they can choose to solve a problem in different ways, and we then use that to kind of probe what they might know about the situation, what they might understand about it.
So what kind of a situation might that be?
Well, to take an example, I've worked before on New Caledonian crows. So this is a species of crow that comes from the island of New Caledonia in the South Pacific. And they're unusual in that they use and make a wide variety of different tools in the wild. And so what we did, we wanted to understand whether or not they understood the function of hooks. So they make hooked tools in the wild by pulling off twigs and leaving a little piece connected, a bit like a crochet hook. And they use that to sort of dabble into holes in logs and then get invertebrates, these larvae, to bite onto them and then extract them. So we want to know whether or not they actually understood what hooks do, which is quite a complex problem, actually, something that children don't understand for a reasonable amount of time. So what we did was we set up a situation where there was a piece of meat in a little cup inside a vertical tube, and we gave them two tools. So they had a straight tool and they had a hooked tool, a hooked piece of wire. And so what we wanted to know is which one would they choose? So if they understand the problem, then they should choose the hooked one. If they don't understand the problem, they should choose the straight one. And so what we actually found was rather interesting because on only the fifth trial of this particular experiment, the male bird took away the hooked wire, which was the one that would have solved the task, right? And the female was left just with a straight piece of wire. And what she did then was she put the end of the wire into a piece of tape on the tray that was holding this apparatus, moved her head around and bent the wire into a hook. So now suddenly she's made a hook, a novel hook from novel material, and used it then to get the food out. Now that was a good example also of an experiment that we set up to look at one thing in a way that we thought could only be solved in two different ways, and suddenly the bird found a third way to do it. But it also revealed interesting things, which is that these birds can sometimes innovate novel behaviours from existing, presumably, knowledge that they have about the world.
And so you're saying that's something that actually children find quite hard to do, because that's quite surprising.
It is, yeah. So I'm currently working, as I said, with Sarah and Ian in psychology. And what we're interested in is we know, obviously, that at some point children grow up and they're able to make tools and do all the things that adults can. But what happens during that process? We know that children are quite good at being able to use tools from quite early on, and they can also watch adults and learn about the functions of tools by watching what adults are doing or other individuals are doing. But we were interested in how they actually make tools. And we found quite surprising results, really, that children are actually very bad at making novel tools until they've seen another individual making the tool, and then they can do it fine. So this was quite surprising because this is evidently something that New Caledonian crows, for example, at least some New Caledonian crows find quite easy to do. There's also recent research from rooks, another member of the crow family, that shows they can also do it. And they're not even a tool user in the wild. And yet it seems to be something that doesn't appear very early in development in human children.
That's a fascinating example of one of the questions that you're looking at. What are the types of questions do you try to answer?
Well, I'm interested in two main areas, I suppose. One is how this kind of intelligence evolved. So one of the things I do is look at different species of animal, because we find that these kinds of abilities have evolved many times throughout evolution. So I've already mentioned crows. The parrot family is another one. So I also work with parrots. I mean, there are other groups as well. Obviously, the primates are a very important one. So I have a colleague here, Susanna Thorpe, who is an expert on orangutans, and I'm working with her to try and understand how orangutans understand their world. So that kind of convergent evolution is one of the themes of my research. But on another scale, I'm also interested in how it develops in an individual over time. So many of these abilities are acquired with experience. And so I'm interested in the development within an individual. So that relates to the work that we've been doing with children. And also we're working with parrots now. We're very exciting. We're breeding some baby kakarikis at the moment. And so we're interested to see how those kakariki parrots develop as they grow up and they start to explore their world and how that process happens. Because one of the big sort of themes that comes out of this kind of research is that individuals are incredibly varied. I mean, we know that as humans, that we're all very different in our abilities. But why is that? When we have basically the same kind of environment that we're brought up in, and yet we all come out with very different kinds of abilities. Some of that's probably genetic, but some of it probably isn't.
So looking ahead over the next couple of years, where are the novel developments coming from?
Well, I think one of the really exciting things is interdisciplinary research, because the area that I work in is very difficult to tackle from one direction, because we're dealing with a very complex process. So we know what information the animal can take in through its senses. We know what behaviour it gives out at the end. But what goes on in between in the brain is largely difficult to work out. So one field that's very important, I think, is the area of artificial intelligence and computer science. There's a different way of approaching problems that they have that can be very useful in trying to change the way we're thinking about these problems. And also the mere fact of trying to build a robot that shows these kinds of flexible behaviours very quickly reveals what you don't know about the situation, which you wouldn't necessarily be able to intuit just from looking at animal behaviour. The second thing I think comes from psychology. I think the approaches that they have, the tools and technologies that they have, things like functional MRI that can allow us to see areas of the brain activating when individuals are actually undertaking a particular task live, as it were. Those can be very useful in helping to try and work out what the different functions of the brain are.
So it's bringing together everything from pipe cleaners and tubes to the absolute latest cutting edge.
Absolutely, the technology. Whole spectrum of technology. Yeah.
And in terms of long-term outcomes of this kind of work, where is the kind of final practical application lie, do you think?
Well, I think learning more about intelligence generally in humans and non-human animals can help us understand how our own intelligence evolved. The practical applications I think that can have is in education, for one thing. So trying to improve the ways we have of educating children and also helping to support individuals that maybe have cognitive disabilities and trying to make the most of the abilities that they have and improve the ways that they can learn. Within cognitive robotics, there are obviously direct applications there, trying to build robots that can be very independent, autonomous, can move around on their own with very little instruction or guidance from humans, can act as assistants for people who have limited mobility, say. And that's, I think, another area that's going to be very big.
So robot assistants.
Robot assistants, indeed, yeah.
Dr. Jackie Chappell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists. The interviewer for the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast was Lucy Vernal, and the producer was Andy Tootell.